Good morning, brothers and sisters. If you have your Bible with you, I would like to invite you to turn it with me, to open it in Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7, we are going to read from verse 1 through verse 7. I will do the reading. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Stand in the gates of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah, who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in lying words, saying, the Lord's temple, the Lord's temple, the Lord's temple are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute justice between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your own hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers from of old even forevermore." Amen. The sermon of today is entitled "The Disciple and the Message of Reformation." The Disciple and the Message of Reformation. The words that we have read in the Bible is about the prophet Jeremiah. We are very familiar with the story of Jeremiah. This is a man who was called by God to proclaim a message, a prophetic message to the people of Judah, to the people of God. And this message was given in a very difficult time, because the message of Jeremiah was a warning to God's people. And when these words are being spoken, the people of God had come back from a time where they went away from God's ways. They had rejected the law of God, and there came a king called Josiah, who restored the temple and called the people to repentance. And the temple, which symbolized the presence of God and the restoration of the worship to the true God, the only true God. And here comes Jeremiah in that season, after the temple have been restored and worship has begun again in the temple. But yet he comes with a message that says basically, this is not enough. This is not enough. And Jeremiah will deliver the message, warnings, even though at the time, some people, some men of God, some other prophets will have a different opinion. There will be in Judah, basically Jeremiah against all other prophets who will preach peace, when Jeremiah will be preaching warning to say that if you keep doing things the way you are doing them, calamity is going to come back to you. You will go back. You will become captive. So, The basic, the fundamental, the key word in Jeremiah's message is reform, amend, change. Reform your ways. Reform your doings. And this is not quite different from the message that the Lord has entrusted to the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, preached to the Jews in his time, when he will go and call the Jews to repentance. And even, he will even call the religious leaders to repentance. And Jesus, you remember that Jesus will face the Pharisees and the doctors of the law at the time. And they will tell him that we are not slaves. We are sons of Abraham. We do not really need any this kind of message. And Jesus will remind them that don't take pride in being children of Abraham, because from these stones, God can raise a posterity to Abraham. And we, disciples of Jesus, in our generation, we have a message, the same message we have received from the Lord, to preach to our generation, to remind the people that we are living with, not only that the Lord is coming, that we need to get ready for the coming of the Lord. Amen. So this is the message of reformation that you and I, disciples of Jesus, that we have the responsibility to spread, to preach. Yes, Jesus has set us, his disciples. He has set us to become like him, not only in his doings, but also in his, in the message that he has, that he preached. And that means that to our generation today, because today people are not going to see Jeremiah, people are not going to see Jesus himself in flesh, but people will see us, you and I, in this temple. We are the representative of Jesus. We are the representative of God wherever he has placed us. We are God's mouthpiece, God's spoken persons in our workplaces, in our university where we study, on the marketplace, everywhere, we are God's mouthpiece. Do you know that you, as you sit here today, you are the one God is counting on to preach the message of reformation? Do you know? Hallelujah. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19 through 20, he says that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And God has committed to us a word, the word of reconciliation. God has called us to be his ambassadors, and he has deposited in our hearts, on our mouth, a message to reconcile the people with God. And this message is a message of reformation. We are called to call our fellow friends, brothers and sisters, to change. Hallelujah. Yes. And this is a great privilege. It's a great privilege to be God's mouthpiece. It's a great privilege because we serve a powerful God. God is faithful to his word. God does not speak in vain. What he says will come to pass. When he warns, it means that there is something he is about to fulfill, he's about to do. And when God spoke through people like Moses, we could see the glory of God even on the face of Moses when he came down from the mountain. The Bible says that his face was shining with the glory of God to the extent that even his own brother, Aaron, could not come near him. Hallelujah. This is how powerful our God is. Think about people like Elijah, who could stand in the presence of God and be God's mouthpiece in Israel and stand and say, unless I speak, there shall be no rain. Imagine a man, simply because he is God's mouthpiece, is able to disrupt nature, the functioning of nature. This is to show how God is powerful. But the message that God has given us is not only a message that is going to be impressive. This message is not always going to be attractive, like in the case of Jeremiah. Sometimes, and there will come a time, and I strongly believe that time has come, that we, disciples of Jesus, we deliver the message, the uncomfortable message of reformation. Hallelujah. That message is not an easy message. It is not attractive. It is a message that offends people. Yes, it does. It does offend people. It is a message to which people are not going to jump and say, hallelujah, amen. Come, Lord, preach. It's a message that does not guarantee that you will be called again to preach for the second time. It is a message that sometimes does not have substantial impact in the offering basket. It's a message that does not come with congratulations. It comes sometimes with a cost to the messenger himself. A cost that he has to bear in his flesh, like Jeremiah experienced it. He preached the entire ministry of Jeremiah. You will not see a single time Jeremiah being praised for his message. Never happened. If we have to measure Jeremiah's ministry by today's standards, I'm sure if he had a church, it would have been maybe himself. Maybe he would be preaching on YouTube. Maybe, I don't know. Because not only his message was rejected, but he himself was rejected, imprisoned. Yes. He became himself he bore in his own flesh the adverse consequence of the message that he was called to preach. To the extent that there was a point Jeremiah would say that this word was so burning inside of him, he would be tempted to just shut up. But he would say that this word is so burning that it's beyond my strength. I have to preach it. So the message that God has called us, this message of repentance, is a difficult one. But what makes it so difficult? What makes difficult this message, and even today, is because those who hear the message are not ignorant of God's will. Remember, Jeremiah was sent to preach not to the nations, to the Gentiles. He was called to preach to the very people of God. Those who had the revelation of God. They had a history with God. They knew the story of Ruth. They knew who Jeremiah was speaking about. So these people were not ignorant. And that makes this message very difficult, because when you are going to preach and ask people who consider themselves people of God, and sometimes who have more knowledge than you do, more experience with this God, when you call them to repentance, it becomes difficult because they know even before you speak. And then not only they know, but they consider themselves approved by God. Yes. They, for all kinds of reasons. And this message is also difficult because these people, they had obeyed God in the past. Yes, they had rebuilt the temple. Imagine. Yeah, they are coming a long way from responding to God's calling. Yeah, the temple has been rebuilt. And you come again telling them that this is not enough. No, no. We have obeyed God. We have done the right thing according to them. And they have in front of them the evidence of the presence of God, which is the temple. Yes. Acts of worship are back to the temple. So God is with us. And not only that, the message is also difficult because they have an alternative to Jeremiah. He is not the only prophet of the time. There are other prophets who are preaching peace. He's warning against captivity, but others are preaching that it's all well. God has blessed you. God is with you. See, you have done the right thing. So this message is difficult. But God is calling the disciple of Jesus today, just the way he called Jeremiah. Stand in the gate. Stand there in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim this message. Brothers and sisters, there will be a time God calls us to act, to do things silently, without speaking. But to each and every one of us, we have the responsibility to open our mouth. Hallelujah. And this has nothing to do with your talent. It has nothing to do with your gift. Yeah, Jeremiah, when he was called, he had the same answer. Moses had the same answer. I'm not a very good speaker. Yes, you have many things that you don't have, but this has nothing to do with your gift or your talent. God is saying, wherever you are spending your days, open your mouth and call them to change. Hallelujah. Don't justify your inabilities. Call them. Question their ways of life and their actions. Question them against God's will. Open your mouth and deliver that uncomfortable truth that you know that they need to change. They need their heart to change. Point to the false and dangerous sense of security that comes when we serve the Lord in the temple. Yes, when we serve the Lord as I'm doing here preaching, there is a sense of security that comes with. I'm a preacher. I'm a teacher. And because of what I'm doing, I'm safe. God is not impressed by what we do in the temple. God wants us to have hearts that are pure in front of Him. Hallelujah. There is a place each and every one of us come in the silence of your fellowship with God. As you sit here, you know where you stand in your relationship with God, with this holy God. If he has to come back today, you know whether you are ready to meet him or not. You know the state of your relationship with him. And these other people who are not with us today in this temple, they know. So God says, don't take glory in what you do in the temple. Don't be impressed by the temple. Look at the God of the temple. Because he is coming. Don't focus on the outside. The things that we do on the outside. When on the inside we have grown cold. We have become so cold. Sometimes we approve the things that we know that God does not approve. And yet we come back to the temple. We sing and praise. We sing, God, we love you. I surrender all. But we know deep in our heart that we are entertaining sin. We are justifying it. We are condoning it. When it is spoken, when it is done around us, we watch. We keep silent. We consider that it is not my business. We are afraid that if we speak out, they are going to laugh. They are going to judge me. Yes. My brothers and sisters, God is a just God. He's a holy God. And he's coming. If we are truly going to stand in the presence of God in our private time, we will find strength to obey this calling, to stand and to speak out. We will be changed ourselves. We will call upon God's help to change us. And then as a result, we'll be able to stand and to call other people. To call our brothers and sisters. Today the gospel has become a means to be successful, a means to get a big ministry, a means to get, I don't know, fame and to solve social problems, things that we need in our flesh. Yeah. But the Lord is warning us. Preach the message. Whether you've been in a school of theology or not, you know that message. Hallelujah. If you want to get trained, go and get trained. But don't wait. Hallelujah. You have that message. Don't rest and find confidence in your ability, because you will do it not in your strength, but in God's strength. The last verse the passage I want us to read is Ezekiel chapter 3. Why God is calling us to preach this message, and I want us to read this together. If you can project it, please, brothers. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. God is speaking and says, Son of man, I have made you a watchman over the house of Israel. When you hear a word from my mouth, give them a warning from me. If I say to the wicked person, you will surely die, but you do not warn him, you don't speak out to warn him about his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked person will die for his iniquity. Yet, I will hold you responsible for his blood. 19. But if you warn a wicked person and he does not turn from his wickedness or his wicked way, he will die for his iniquity, but you will have saved your life. 20. Now, if a righteous person turns from his righteousness and practices iniquity, and I put a stumbling block in front of him, he will die. If you did not warn him, he will die because of his sin, and the righteous act he did will not be remembered. Yet I will hold you responsible for his blood. But if you warn the righteous person that he should not sin, and he does not sin, he will indeed live because he listened to your warning, and you will have saved your life. 22. Get up, go out to the plain, and I will speak with you there. Amen. This is the message that the Lord is giving us today. I pray that you will see the goodness of the Lord in this message that is asking us to preach, because God cares about us. He cares about the people that he has sent us to, and is counting on you and I. Let's stand up and speak out. Let's pray.